white sand beaches, surf pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area, except this is a special edition of Spectrum 360 radio program coming to you from Minneapolis. Surprise, it's not from Clearwater, Florida tonight. It's from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm your host, Mark Skogman.
And greetings to our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, in the United States. I am co-producer and co-host, TK Week.
Yes. Co-host and co-producer, TK Week, is on the program this week. She was not on last week's program, but she is on this week, and I'm very thankful for it because I have to say my cliched phrase, it's always a better program when TK Week is on the air.
Thank you so much.
It's true, too. That's why I say it. And, you know, it has a psychological effect on her. She's nicer to me when I say that. Even though I don't pay her, you know. I pay her in other ways. I pay her in praise. It's cheap. What can I say? Don't tell her that, though. Okay. So this is the Spectrum 360 radio program for Monday. And it's actually the 7th of August, 2017. And I'm your host, Mark Skogman, of course. Remember to like Spectrum 360 on Facebook. And the Spectrum 360 radio program is copyright Mark Skogman, 2017. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 radio program podcast for personal use is authorized and encouraged. So, yes, on Spectrum 360 in addition, this is a all politics edition of Spectrum 360. It will include a film review, so it's politics and film. And we're going to have some fun tonight. This is going to be an unusual Spectrum 360. We sometimes do remote broadcasts where we go low-tech, and it does not have all the wild and crazy and woolly features of a studio Spectrum 360 program. Sometimes we do a low-tech, kind of stripped-down, if you will, version of the program when we're remote in the field. And this is one of those programs. So that doesn't mean we don't have a lot to say or a lot to cover. We do. But actually, in some ways, that's better. So we will omit the Jim Hightower commentary for this week. And segment one, live, and I usually say in studio, and I'm going to have to say out of studio because we're not in the studio. We're in Minneapolis. So live, out of studio, a review of the Democracy Convention. The Spectrum 360 radio program staff, Spectrum 360 media staff, attended the entire Democracy Convention in Minneapolis, Minnesota, on the campus of the University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus. And it was from this last Wednesday, the 2nd of August, through this last Sunday, just yesterday, the 6th of August, 2017. And it was a great convention. So we will review the Democracy Convention. Co-host TK Weeks was on site for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the two of us, both myself and TK Weeks, were at the Democracy Convention for Saturday and Sunday sessions. So we'll review that. And like I said, we will omit the Jim Hightower commentary this week. And then segment two will be a review of the new film, An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power. This is the sequel film to the original Inconvenient Truth, which was released in 2016. Co-host TK Weeks and I had the pleasure of seeing this great film today at the Uptown Theater in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the Uptown area. That's Hennepin Avenue and Lake Street, for people that are familiar with Minneapolis. Hennepin Lake, the coolest part of Minneapolis, where I used to live. And we'll review that film and talk about the film. We'll talk about the theater that it was broadcast, or actually screened in, because it's a historic theater as well, the Uptown Theater. I have some information to share with our listeners about that, because it's a historic building. So it's interesting to see a great film in a historic and interesting theater, and that's what we experienced today. Excuse me. So that's the program. Just two segments tonight. We're going to strip down, and we're going to talk, and we're going to go through an examination of the Democracy Convention. So we'll take a brief commercial break for 1 minute, and then we'll come back, and we will start segment one. Peter Blake in the studio, take it away.
Check out the Revolutionary Road Radio Show every Monday night at 10 p.m. on the Tantalk Network. Tantalk1340.com. You can listen to us online, or you can also check us out on YouTube at the Revolutionary Road Radio Show, sponsored in part by St. Petersburg Community Acupuncture. Don't forget, every Monday night at 10 p.m. on the Tantalk Network.
Make sure you tune in to the only FM sports talk show in the Tampa Bay area on Saturday afternoons from 3 to 5, The Sports Web. It's the evolution of sports talk radio because we treat the fan as if they're a superstar. We give you your own walk-up music, we let you call in twice, and we don't hang up on you like those other sports talk shows do. So make sure you tune in to The Sports Web on Saturday afternoons, hosted by Peter Blake and Sean the Sports Don, every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 on the Tan Talk Sports Network.
And this is Mark Scogan, host of the Spectrum 360 radio program and the executive producer of Spectrum 360 Media, back with you. And let's go to segment one for this week's Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 7th of August, 2017. And this is our out-of-studio live discussion of the Democracy Convention. And this is a great event. And what it is, it's a conference about politics. It's in terms of the attendance and the political philosophy of the people that attend, it's left of center, progressive, and sometimes revolutionary as well. It comprises the entire spectrum from moderates to left center, progressives, and radicals. And it's a very interesting experience and convention because of the range of people that are there. And what are we there for? We're for the Democracy Convention. We're discussing democracy. You're so surprised, right? What was your first clue, right? So it's a very interesting event. This year, this is the third what has been roughly biannual Democracy Convention. It was conducted at the University of Minnesota in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area in Minnesota. St. Paul is, of course, the capital of Minnesota, and Minneapolis is the largest city in Minnesota, and they're the twin cities. That's why the baseball team is called Minnesota Twins. Get it? Twins. It's pretty simple. Don't rest your brain. It's simple. So you have the Minneapolis campus and the St. Paul campus of the University of Minnesota. This was conducted on the Minneapolis campus. Now, the Minneapolis campus is actually situated right on the Mississippi River in Minnesota. And it comprises basically two halves of the campus, one on the east bank of the Mississippi River and one on the west bank of the Mississippi River. The east bank campus is the larger of the two campuses. The west bank is the smaller. They're, of course, on the two different sides of the river, joined by the interesting Washington Avenue Bridge. And I have an interesting history with this university, which I'll talk about a little bit in just a moment. And we use Wiley Hall, the large auditorium, for the group sessions, plenary sessions, as they're called. And then we use the Blagan classroom building for classroom sessions where there were discussions, presentations, films, panel discussions on a whole variety of topics. So it's a great setting for a conference. The University of Minnesota campus is right on the Mississippi River. It's a beautiful campus. I attended the University of Minnesota in the 1975-1976 academic year, and at that time, it was the third largest main campus in the United States for a university. So it's a huge campus. The time that I attended, there were approximately 40,000 students at that one campus alone. So it's a huge school, very large. It's easy to get lost in. There's our co-host, T.K. Weeks.
We're not talking about that tonight.
Yeah, I'll just say that there was a some problem with directions at one point during your trip.
I ended up on the wrong side of the river, okay?
And if you're originally from Minneapolis, such as I am, and attended the University of Minnesota, that was a very funny mistake. So I've been razzing her for a few days now about that, and it was pretty funny. When you're supposed to be on the West Bank and you end up on the East Bank, there's a problem.
It was dark.
Yes, I have to admit, that there's been so much building since I attended the university there that it is difficult to recognize where you are on the West Bank, even if you used to live there on the West Bank in a dormitory, which I did. I lived in Middlebrook Hall for the time that I was at the University of Minnesota, and it's unrecognizable. There's been hundreds of millions of dollars of capital expenditures to build many more buildings and facilities. They're first class. They're great. And it does not look anything like it did in the mid to late 70s. So that is the caveat on that. So it's a great campus. It's a great city. Minneapolis is just a wonderful, progressive city. And it's getting even more progressive. The city of Minneapolis passed a $15 an hour minimum wage. That's a very progressive thing. People listening to this program or just people that are involved in left politics at all or just politics in general know about the Fight for 15 movement. They have been successful in passing the $15 minimum wage in Minneapolis. It's a progressive city. It's a beautiful city. Great city for arts. And that site right there on the west bank of the Mississippi River is within sight of the I-35W freeway bridge, which collapsed in 2007. And it was several days ago, wasn't it, Terry, that it was the...
It was the day I came in. What was that? Was that a Tuesday?
Wednesday, the 2nd of August.
No, it was Tuesday, the 1st of August that I arrived that night. Okay. And, yeah, my driver said that day was the 10th anniversary of the bridge collapse, told me this as we were driving over the bridge. Yeah, that was a horrible tragedy for the city.
Yes,
and just an example of how important it is to maintain infrastructure and to invest in infrastructure. That sort of thing is unusual in Minnesota because, in general, they do believe in investing in infrastructure here. They pay fairly high taxes, and they get a lot in return for those taxes.
Yes, and I believe in those years, the years that we were referring to in this conversation, that Minnesota, in terms of state income tax, was the third highest tax state in the country. If I remember right now, don't quote me on that. I'm not absolutely sure of that statistic, but it is a high tax state. And in Minnesota, you get what you pay for.
Schools are excellent. First-rate school system here in Minneapolis. Yeah, they do get what they pay for. Interesting city. After hearing all the exciting progressive things going on here, if it weren't for the winners, I was ready to move. One of the city council members from the city of Minneapolis spoke at the convention. He's a Green. They actually have a Green Party member on the city council. He's in his second term. His name is Cam Newton. Really interesting guy. They're having city council elections right now coming up this year in Minneapolis, and they have open socialists running as socialists for Minneapolis City Council. It is a very progressive city. The vice chair of the city council spoke. In addition to the $15 minimum wage ordinance, they also have ranked choice voting, which is fascinating. It's also known as, some people call it instant runoff voting. And how that works is instead of just, you know, voting for one candidate, you will have vote for your top three choices. And then if nobody wins, over 50%, explain that, Mark. Explain ranked choice voting.
Ranked choice voting is where people are familiar with the ballot where you vote for one candidate. For instance, just for as
let's take our District 6 race because we got so doggone many candidates in that race.
I would suggest taking an even simpler
election. Mayor race?
No, let's as an example of this to make it very simple for people to understand. Let's take the presidential election, the U.S. presidential election from 2016.
Okay.
Now we basically say we had five candidates. We had Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, John Kasich, and John McCain. This is an example. John McCain didn't run in 2016, but I'm just using it as an example. So you had those five candidates. On a ranked choice or instant runoff ballot, instant runoff is another term for ranked choice voting, you rank the choices in the order of preference. So, for a progressive, you might have wanted to...
Bernie, you might say, I'm on
Bernie Sanders. He would be my number one choice. Maybe Hillary Clinton would be your number two choice. Maybe Donald Trump would be your third choice. Maybe John Kasich would be your fourth choice. And maybe Ted Cruz would be your fifth choice.
God forbid.
And if there were five candidates on the ballot, You would vote for the candidate that you wanted to be in office and say there maybe two or three that you would consider. Excuse me. You would rank them in the order of importance on the ballot. So you're actually voting for multiple candidates in order of preference. Now, there's some very important advantages to that process. The fact is that this is a much more democratic way to vote, because a lot of times people want to vote for a candidate, but they don't think they have a chance.
So what happens now in an election? Say nobody gets over 50%. So then they take the top
two or three
candidates, and they throw out the others. Say I voted for Ted Cruz as my top choice, but Ted didn't finish first. Or Ted didn't finish in the top three. Ted finished fifth. So they're going to take my number one choice, Ted Cruz, and he's out. So they'll go down to my second choice. Say my second choice was John McCain. Now, John McCain finished in the top three. So they'll put that in there, and they'll allocate all my votes to John McCain, my vote to John McCain. Or say I am really not in the majority and my second choice didn't win either. Then they'll go down to my third choice and look at that. And they'll allocate my vote to the third choice. So what happens is, for one thing, it's takes the burden off the spoiler thing. Bernie, you know, a lot of people said Bernie was a spoiler, or if Bernie could have been a spoiler, or Ralph Nader was a spoiler in the election when he ran in with Bush and Gore. Now, with ranked choice voting, he wouldn't have been a spoiler. All those people who wanted Ralph Nader to be their first choice, they could go ahead and vote for him as their first choice, and it wouldn't be hurting Al Gore, because more than likely, they'd be putting Al Gore as their second choice. I imagine they wouldn't be putting George W. Bush as their second choice. So those people were not taking votes away from Bush. If Nader didn't finish as number one, their second choice votes would be counted instead. So it would have had a much better effect. There Nader wouldn't have been a spoiler. Also means people don't just have to play to their base. They have to make a broader appeal in hopes that they can come in second or third. They're playing for a larger audience.
Yes, I would have to say, I'm just thinking of this just now, about ranked choice voting, is that, well, number one, if you have an electoral system where you have to get 50% plus one to win the office, and then nobody reaches that level in the election and it triggers a runoff, then you have to have a second election. The advantage of ranked choice voting is the fact that this is why it's also called instant runoff voting, because you actually are voting in what would
be a runoff election.
Yes, exactly. You're actually voting in like what in some cases is two elections, a primary election and then a runoff election for candidates that didn't get a majority of 50% plus one. So it condenses the process, and it actually, what sometimes takes two elections, would be condensed into one, because you're voting for more than one candidate. You're ranking them by preference. That's what ranked choice voting is. And it also has the advantage of decreasing the advantage of incumbency for a candidate that's also an office holder at the time that they're running. Someone
and actually,
in office.
The Green candidate who is currently on city council said if it hadn't been for ranked choice voting, he probably would not have been elected. So it does make room for different kinds of candidates.
Yes, and it tends to be democratizing and increases the fairness of elections, because more women and more people of color and more people of the smaller parties, such as the Green Party, tend to get elected. Now, as a general principle, I support that. So that's something that's very interesting about instant runoff or ranked choice voting. So it's a very progressive city, and it's a wonderful place to have a conference like this. So now the conference starts, and it started Wednesday evening, and then there were four full days of the conference, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'm just going to read just briefly some of the conference topics. They're organized into nine different conferences, or nine different general topics for discussion, subject matter categories. I'm going to read five of them here that I have for you, and this gives you an idea of what happens at the conference. So there's nine different conference titles or categories or subjects, and then there are many different classes and panel discussions and films and workshops that are conducted in each of these categories. And then you attend whatever of those events that you want in whatever category, and they're defined, their categories as to what category they fit in. And then you can look at the ones in that category or any category and attend the conference as you want. One of them was Democratizing the Constitution Conference. Another one was the Earth Rights and Global Democracy Conference. A third one was the Representative Democracy Conference. Another was Education United for Democracy Conference. And then Peace and Democracy Conference. But there was also a number of others, Media Conference. And there was a conference on economics and racial and social justice, and I believe one more. So it shows you what the general topics are for the convention. There are nine of them, so there's a lot of different topics covered.
And if you're say you're an education person, you work on education issues, that's your passion and your interest, and maybe even your profession is to work on issues involving education, you could attend all of the different classes and workshops on education, or you could do what we kind of did, which is dip our toe into a lot of the different areas just to get a feel for what was going on in a wide variety of areas. So really almost too much to choose from.
And there's also displays. There was a puppet show. There was a great concert by Emma's Revolution, which was wonderful, which I did not get to attend, but I understand that they were very good. I've heard them in concert multiple times.
They played in St. Pete a few times, actually.
Yeah, and they play at the SOA Watch every year, and I've seen them other places, too. They are also the musical MCs for the Progressive Central event, which was in 2012 in Charlotte, North Carolina, during the Democratic National Convention. There was a facility that hosted what was called Progressive Central, where Progressive Democrats of America sponsored a conference, and there were the awards ceremony, and there were speakers, and Emma's Revolution would provide music breaks during that. So I've seen the number of times.
And you will be hearing some Emma's Revolution music on subsequent episodes of Spectrum 360, because I did have the pleasure of meeting them and talking to them, and they have a new CD out, which they have given to me because they are interested in spreading progressive music. Their songs are political in general and have a progressive feel, and so we'll be playing some Emma's Revolution on upcoming shows. They are great.
Yes, that was interesting. So if there are arts available, too, to make your experience just that much wider, so you can avail yourself of those events as well. So you've got concerts, you've got a puppet show. There was a very interesting peace ceremony as well. I want to read just a brief description of this, because this is unique and very interesting. And this happened at the Rose Garden at Lake Harriet in Minneapolis. And I used to live just a few blocks south of Lake Harriet. In my opinion, it's the most beautiful area of Minneapolis, and Minneapolis is already a beautiful city all over. And it's known for the lakes that are in the city limits, Lake Harriet, Lake Calhoun, Lake of the Woods, Lake of the Isles. No, not Lake of the Isles. That was a joke. But there are a number of lakes. Lake Hiawatha is another one. And, of course, the beautiful Minnehaha Creek, which runs all the way through Minneapolis, goes over big falls at Minnehaha Falls, and then connects to the Mississippi River and empties right into the Mississippi River. It's kind of a spectacular little falls. There's a beautiful park there. That's all within the city limits of Minneapolis. So at Lake Harriet, at the Rose Garden here, or actually across from the Rose Garden, there was a Hiroshima Nagasaki commemoration at the Peace Garden at Lake Harriet. That was the title of it. It was from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. this last Sunday, just yesterday, 6 August 2017, Lindale Park Peace Garden, which is across from the Rose Garden near Lake Harriet. It's a beautiful lake right in the city. Can you imagine having beautiful lakes right in your city? And here's the description. Hiroshima Nagasaki commemoration at Peace Garden at Lake Harriet. This remembrance of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki has taken place at the Peace Garden since 1985. It climaxes with a moment of silence at 8:15 a.m. when the Hiroshima bomb was dropped. It begins with singing, welcome, telling the stories of Sadako and the 1,000 cranes, Veterans for Peace, Ring Bells, and guest speaker David Swanson this year. I believe he was not able to attend because of a health emergency, but he was the scheduled speaker. And the stated theme for the year was disarmament, building on the UN. resolution. So that was a special event that was a peace commemoration ceremony coordinating with the anniversary of the nuclear bombing of Japan during World War II. That was in 1945. 6 and 9 August 1945 were when the first and second nuclear bombs ever used in warfare were used by the United States against Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan, which precipitated the end of World War II. And there was also the Factory Hog Farm Puppet Show.
It's the puppet show.
There was a commemorative tea ceremony as well, which is a prelude on Saturday night to the peace ceremony on Sunday morning. That's just an example of some of the events that were not just strictly classroom events, lectures, or panel discussions, or reports, or films. So there's a lot of arts involved here as well.
And we did have some big name, or fairly big, well-known people speaking at the opening plenary session on Wednesday night. We had Cam Newton from the Minneapolis City Council. We also had Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein, who spoke. There were a lot of Greens at the Democracy Convention, and she received an extremely enthusiastic response. And we had Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison, and vice chair now of the DNC, Keith Ellison, who gave a very interesting speech. Keith is very progressive. He is a believer in Medicare for All. The Progressive Caucus actually has their own platform, the People's Platform, and I encourage people to look up the People's Platform to see what the Democratic Progressive Caucus stands for.
And isn't he also the vice chair of the Progressive Caucus, the Democratic Progressive Caucus in Congress?
He was chair of it. He might still be vice chair. He might have stepped down as he's chair of vice chair of the DNC. I'm not sure.
The exact position he holds right now.
But also, he talked a little bit about, you know, the ongoing hearings involving Trump and Russia. And some of the people further left really aren't too terribly interested in the Russia issue. Then they want to get back to saying that Hillary and the Democrats are equally corrupt. And Keith made a very interesting point, I thought, which was, you know, regardless of what the Democrats and Hillary did or did not do, what's going on as far as Russia interfering in our elections is a big deal. It is serious. And he said he couldn't speak about things that he knew that hadn't come out yet. They were classified. But he indicated that there was definitely more to come. And it was a very big deal.
Yes. Okay, we're going to take a break for 1 minute again, and we'll come back. And we'll get more detailed with their description of the Democracy Convention. Pete, take it away.
Check out the Revolutionary Road radio show every Monday night at 10 p.m. on the Tantalk Network. Tantalk1340.com. You can listen to us online, or you can also check us out on YouTube at the Revolutionary Road radio show. Sponsored in part by St. Petersburg Community Acupuncture. Don't forget, every Monday night at 10 p.m. on the Tantalk Network.
This is Mark Skogman, host of Spectrum 360 and the Tantalk Radio Network. Spectrum 360 is a political talk radio program that features politics, the arts, and popular culture from a progressive point of view. Spectrum 360 broadcasts for 1 hour weekly on Monday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time and anytime via podcast at Tantalk1340.com. Remember, Spectrum 360, politics from a progressive point of view.
We take care of our own.
Okay, we are back. And I'm going to read just a brief introduction that was in the convention program, just a couple paragraphs from that. This will give you some information about the history of the Democracy Convention. Welcome to the Democracy Convention 2017. The first Democracy Convention took place 6 years ago in the convulsive months of the Wisconsin Uprising and in the weeks building up to Occupy Wall Street. So much history has transpired since then that to name Black Lives Matter, Idle No More, the People's Climate Marches, the Dreamers, Million Student Marches, and the events of and following the 2016 elections is only to begin to recognize that popular mass mobilization is a factor of our times. What makes the timing of this third gathering of the U.S. democracy movement different, in part, is the ever more obvious failure of the political institutions of the United States. The economic collapse of 2008 has produced the conditions for political ruptures out of which radically different Americas may emerge. If true, this means that the work of building a democracy movement for the USA has entered a new phase. Indeed, movement building can no longer be, as it has been for many of us, an end in and of itself. It's time to prepare for a more difficult period of possibility in which winning and losing gain a greater measure of finality. Among others, the Wisconsinites arose up in the hundreds of thousands in 2011 and 2012 and learned the stakes. And among others, the popular movements of the Twin Cities regularly show that they know what matters. At Liberty Tree, we've been laying the foundations for these democracy conventions since our origins in 2004. But a gathering such as this, and the movement it represents, requires the participation of many more people and resources than any single organization, small or large, may muster. We especially recognize and thank our co-conveners, as well as the many organizations, unions, businesses, and individuals that step forward to sponsor and support this third democracy convention. Please find them on pages 40 to 45 of the program. So that's some information. It is sponsored and conducted and run by the Liberty Tree Foundation, which is based in Madison, Wisconsin. But there's many, many sponsors. I'm going to read just a brief listing of them, just so you know who's involved here. The founding sponsors are, of course, the Liberty Tree Foundation for Democratic Revolution and Voting Justice, which is associated with the Jill Stein campaign. And then the major sponsors were Citizens for Global Solutions Minnesota, Free Speech TV, the Workable World Trust, and then other sponsors were Alliance for Democracy, American Monetary Institute, Center for Partnership Studies, Move to Amend, World Beyond War, and co-sponsors were American Promise, Human Agenda, Color of Water, the Labor Institute, Left Elect, the Next System Project, Program and Corporations Law and Democracy, or POCLAD, and Runaway Equality and Universalizing Resistance. And there were a number of supporters and endorsers as well, just briefly.
A lot of Move to Amend people. I think that Move to Amend is something we're very familiar with in our area because St. Petersburg recently passed an ordinance getting big money out of local politics. Move to Amend, that's what they're all about. They're actually advocating for a 28th Amendment that states that money is not speech, and corporations are not people. And a lot of very enthusiastic Move to Amend people were there, as you would imagine, because that's democracy.
Yes, that's correct. So that's the people involved, and that's the general structure of the convention. Now, TK, give us your impression of the sessions that you attended, and now I'll give mine afterwards, and let me give you the program so you can refresh your memory. And
yeah, there were so many of them. Yeah, my biggest frustration actually was that I was not able to go to all the things that I wanted to go to. Yeah, it's true.
That's a problem with not only this conference, but many others. They're structured, so you can't possibly attend all the sessions because there's so many and they run concurrently.
The first one that I went to was one that involves monetary policy. There were different, and I got to say, this was pretty arcane stuff, so I'm not even going to get into it a lot, but our current money system is not the only way to go. There's groups that do monetary research and reform. They want to kind of develop a deeper understanding of our money system and how to correct its flaws. You know, they talk about the Federal Reserve. They talk about debt-based currency. They talk about the fact that our money supply is private, and think about ways of making that more democratic. It was a pretty arcane session, but it was interesting. And they also talk about public banking. The state of North Dakota actually has a public bank, which is odd because they're a very red state, and this seems like a kind of a socialist kind of organization, but they've had it for a very long time, and they've been able to do some very interesting financing using their public bank. So that was an interesting session. I also went to one about ranked choice voting because that's something that I'm interested in, and actually some activists in the area have been interested in bringing to some of the cities in our area. So I wanted to learn a little bit more about that. Very interesting. I went to a session about taking over local government. I'll tell you the biggest takeaway from the conference that I got. Local matters. Local is really important. Consistently throughout the conference, they were talking about the importance of building from the grassroots, and that means, first and foremost, basically taking over, getting representation on local governments. Those are the governments closest to us. When you get right down to it, those are the units of government that affect our day-to-day lives more than anything else. They get the potholes fixed, you know, they get the police, the fire department, and the importance, if we want to have representational governments, to work at the local level and build up from there. Some activists have been focused on the national level and they try to build top down. Hasn't worked out too well. So that is the biggest takeaway. So right now I'm watching the St. Petersburg mayoral election with renewed interest because I see how very important that election is. These mayors have two very different visions of how they want the city to go. And people getting involved and choosing that vision is something that's going to be vital for moving forward in the future.
Yes, very well put, TK Weeks. And I had a great experience attending the sessions that I attended, and they were many. And basically the way this is structured, there's a morning session, there's a late morning session, there's an early afternoon session, and then a late afternoon session. They all run for approximately an hour and 15 minutes. There's a break for lunch. And then there's, of course, special activities like on Saturday night. There was the Emma's Revolution concert. And that's the way it's structured in terms of time. Now, what I was able to attend was very interesting. And it started with me going to an afternoon session. And that session was Challenging Global Right-Wing Fascism. And the presenters were David Cobb.
The dynamic David Cobb.
Yes. Dorotia Manuela and Siren Mudliar. And that was very interesting. It was about the fact that we have a problem with creeping fascism in this country. It's a problem right now, especially with the Trump administration. I think can very fairly and accurately call a quasi neo-fascist administration. At least it tends that way, and there are definitely, if you don't think it's just completely that way, there are definitely elements of quasi-neo-fascism in the Trump administration and their policies and in some of their cabinet choices. I think it's safe to say that there's definitely a theme or a streak of authoritarianism in the Trump administration and in the country generally. This has not been going on just since the election of Donald Trump as president. This has been going on for many years, and it can be traced all the way back to World War II, and that's how far I trace it back. But there are always elements there in most countries, and, you know, they get stronger, they get weaker, they still get stronger, they get weaker, which kind of proves the point with the old cliche, freedom requires eternal vigilance, and it does. It does. If you want to be free and if you want to have liberty, it requires eternal vigilance. But there's somebody always working against your interest when it comes to staying free. So freedom is not free. You have to work for it. Sometimes the price is very high indeed. Sometimes it takes your life. Sometimes it causes grievous harm to your country. But if you're going to be free and have a democracy, it must be preserved and the price must be paid to have that country preserved. So it was a very interesting session. David Cobb was very animated when it came to that session. He was quite an entertaining speaker and quite interesting. I also went to the next session was CFAR or Green, Turnkey Revolution. And I'm going to give you just a brief description of this because this was an interesting idea, which we had extensive discussion about. The workshop was broken into three sections, a brief review of how we revolt against plutocracy built the Bernie or Bust movement online. And that was very interesting because the man who originated the Bernie or Bust movement was there as a presenter. That was Victor Tiffany. And then there was an outline of how we intend to use the Internet to teach and leverage activists to replicate our efforts in congressional districts for the 2018 midterms and a brainstorming period. The second session will include a description of a new innovation, a contract for American renewal. Contract for American Renewal, CFAR, C-F-A-R. And the last section will call on workshop participants to convey effective strategies they know of for successful electioneering. So there was a three-part discussion, very interesting. Excuse me. The Contract for American Renewal was a very interesting idea, and that was discussed in that session in detail.
And we do have some audio, some recordings of that session, don't we, Mark, that we're going to be posting at some point?
Yes. And also, you can find more information about the Citizens Against Plutocracy at www.citizensagainstplutocracy.org. And I want to reiterate that the website for the Democracy Convention overall is democracyconvention.org, with the familiar www dot in front of that, of course. So then that was one other session that I attended, and that basically led to me doing one more session that day, and that was recount reports from MIPA and WI, which means we analyzed election results from last year and all the way back to 2004 in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, and discussed them. The presenters were Anita Bell, Carl Romanelli. Well, actually, Carl Romanelli was not there. George Martin was, and then one other man whose name escapes me at the time. But the panelists were changed, and it is still a very good panel, even though some of the scheduled panel members were not there. And we discussed in detail the recount efforts that were done in Wisconsin after the 2016 presidential election, when there was a challenge that was presented and a request for a recount by the Jill Stein campaign, which is a real public service that they did. And there was a lot of interesting information about that, which I would like to reiterate on another program. We have video of that, and we have the audio, of course, from the video, and we'll be discussing that in depth on another program. That was something that was really very interesting, and it goes directly to our election system in the United States and the state of it. We have a third world election system in this country.
Right, and it's not for the reason that Donald Trump says. He talks about voter fraud. There isn't voter fraud. We haven't got people pretending to be somebody else that aren't registered that are voting. That's not what's happening. We have systemic election fraud. We have ways of disenfranchising voters, not counting the votes in, not counting our votes, and skewing elections that way. So yeah, we are going to be getting into that a lot more in future programs.
Absolutely. And then I also attended a media network organizing conference, which was also led by David Cobb. David Cobb, of course, I believe he was the campaign manager for the Jill Stein for President 2016 campaign, and was a Green Party candidate for president himself in 2004.
Yeah, so he's a leader of Move to Amend as well, isn't that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And he's a lawyer. And
he wears many hats.
Yes. And I saw them at the conference, and it was strange to see this man wearing so many hats at the same time. People thought he was having a mental problem. No, I'm kidding. It was a joke. David's a great guy. I like to kid him. Back in 2013 at the last Democracy Convention, there wasn't a Democracy Convention in 2015. They're usually every other year in odd-numbered years. In 2015, there wasn't. But in 2013, the Democracy Convention was in Madison, Wisconsin. I attended a couple of days of that as well. That's where I first got involved with the Democracy Convention. And David Cobb, there was an event, a social event, after the sessions ended for the day, where people convened at a bar, and there was some great rap music that was performed there in this bar, and it was an interesting experience. And David Cobb got up, and he was doing this wild, strange dance to this rap music, which I don't believe he normally listens to most of the time, but the rap music was really good. If you like rap, you would have loved this. So he was there in 2013, and I got a video of him doing this crazy wild dance. So whenever I see David, I threaten to blackmail him with a video that I have of him dancing to rap music. I've never put it online. He's asking not to, and I'm going to respect that. But it's just I just love to tease him and try to quasi-blackmail him about the dance video that I have of David Cobb. But just despite that, he did a great job in leading the media networking organizing workshop. And the message is this: be the media, tell the truth, and we need a lot of media reform in this country, and we have to tell the truth, and we have to reform the media system and become it ourselves. We're going to take over the media, and we have to refute and correct all the negative things that we do see, and the sometimes things that are not correct in our media, both print, electronic, radio, television. Fake news is a big topic right now, and the fact is that We do have a problem with fake news, and we discussed that in detail. There's a lot of organizing going on. There's a lot of technology discussed as well, and that basically concludes our discussion of the Democracy Convention. We'll have more information on the next program. We're going to go to break for 1 minute, then we're going to come back, and we are going to listen to the audio of the film preview for the new film, the new great documentary film, An Inconvenient Sequel, Power to Truth. It's Truth to Power. This is the sequel to the original Inconvenient Truth film, which was released in 2006. TK Weeks and I were able to see that today, and we'll talk about it after this break, and we'll come back with the trailer.
Make sure you tune in to the only FM sports talk show in the Tampa Bay area on Saturday afternoons from 3 to 5, The Sports Web. It's the evolution of sports talk radio because we treat the fan as if they're a superstar. We give you your own walk-up music, we let you call in twice, and we don't hang up on you like those other sports talk shows do. So make sure you tune in to The Sports Web on Saturday afternoons hosted by Peter Blake and Sean the Sports Don every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 on the Tan Talk Sports Network.
Check out the Revolutionary Road radio show every Monday night at 10 p.m. on the Tan Talk Network. TanTalk1340.com. You can listen to us online, or you can also check us out on YouTube at the Revolutionary Road radio show, sponsored in part by St. Petersburg Community Acupuncture. Don't forget, every Monday night at 10 p.m. on the Tan Talk Network.
It's
And I'm back. This is Mark Scoglin, the host of Spectrum 360 radio program for Monday, the 7th of August, 2017. One brief personal note. One of the reasons I enjoyed this conference so much, and it is a low cost to attend, and you can stay on campus usually in these situations. And I was able to stay in Middlebrook Hall, which is a residence hall on the west bank of the Minneapolis campus of the University of Minnesota. And that was the dorm that I stayed in when I attended the University of Minnesota. And then we had the group plenary sessions in Wiley Hall. And Wiley Hall was the site where I took Economics 101 as a student at the University of Minnesota. And it was taught by Walter Heller, who is the chief of the Council of Economic Advisors to President Kennedy. And he was a very learned man. He has a name, a building named for him on the West Bank now. And he was a great economics professor. He was a well-known man, nationally famous, wrote great books, great theorist. And he did not have to teach Economics 101, but there he was teaching new students the basics of economics. And I revere the man because I learned a lot about economics at an early age. And it formed a lot of my underpinnings of my understanding of economics. But I got it right from Walter Heller himself in that building. 41 years later, I'm back. I'm staying overnight in my college dorm, Middlebrook Hall. And I'm back in Wiley Hall, and we're doing the Democracy Convention. It was just amazing deja vu, and just a strange experience coming back 41 years later and actually attending the Democracy Convention right where I went to school. Strange and wonderful. That was one of the reasons I wanted to go back. I just wanted to give as a personal note. Let's go to the audio of the trailer for the film, Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power.
70 degrees today. It's freezing here. Speaking of global warming, where is we need some global warming? It's freezing.
The most criticized scene in the movie An Inconvenient Truth was showing that the combination of sea level rise and storm surge would flood the 9/11 memorial site. And people said, what a terrible exaggeration.
Hurricane Sandy slammed into New York City last night, flooding the World Trade Center site.
Storms get stronger and more destructive. Watch the water splash off the city. This is global warming.
I felt so scared, sorry.
Despair can be paralyzing, but this to me is the most exciting new development. We're seeing a tremendous amount of positive change. The basis is there, but it's still not enough.
It's crunch time at the climate change conference in Paris.
Still some really tough negotiations going on.
What would it take to shift to renewables?
I'm talking about breaking the impasse. Virtually every nation in the entire world agreed to get to zero greenhouse emissions. It is unprecedented.
It's time to put America first. That includes a promise to cancel billions in climate change spending. Our plan will end the EPA.
The next generation would be justified in looking back at us and asking, what were you thinking? Couldn't you hear what the scientists were saying? Couldn't you hear what Mother Nature was screaming at you?
For those who display
this movement is in the tradition of every great movement that has advanced humankind.
We're not going to recognize it. We don't want to discuss it.
It is right to save humanity. It is wrong to pollute this earth. It is right to give hope to the future generation. Don't let anybody tell you that we're going to get on rocket ships and live on Mars. This is our home.
And that is the great Al Gore. And today, co-host T.K. Weeks and I were able to attend a screening of the new film, An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power. This is the sequel film as a follow-up to the 2006 documentary film that Al Gore produced, which was the original Inconvenient Truth. And this is about atmospheric heating and about climate disruption, which are the terms that I prefer to use when I discuss this subject now for very good reasons. The film was excellent, and you need to see it. Everyone needs to see this. This is a very current, hot topic, and wherever it is, wherever you live, seek it out, find it, support it, watch it, and share it with other people. And an interesting note about the theater that it was screened in here in Minneapolis, it's in the Uptown area, which is the Lake Street and Hennepin Avenue, which is, I believe, for my taste, it's the hippest, coolest, greatest, best part of Minneapolis. It's where I used to live and work. I used to be a manager at the Green Mill 2 restaurant, which just closed recently on December 31st after 38 years in business. I worked there as a manager in the 80s, and it is no longer. So goodbye, Green Mill 2. But within inside of that restaurant was this wonderful Uptown theater. It's an old Movie Palace theater from many years ago. It's been remodeled a couple of times, and it's a great theater. I've seen over 100 films there because I used to go there on a self-assignment to study the history of film when it was a repertory theater in the early 80s, the best repertory theater I've ever seen or attended, where we saw hundreds of films. It was just a great, great experience to go back to the Uptown Theater. Listen to the trailer. You can get that online. It's a very important film. Makes some very important points. We are in a climate crisis. We are experiencing climate disruption, and we need to take action. We're an emergency, people. So that concludes this edition of Spectrum 360, the low-tech version for Monday, 7 August 2017. We'll have another program for you next week, and we'll cover some of the same topics. We'll possibly have some audio from the Democracy Convention, cover that a little bit more, and we're going to have ongoing coverage of the Inconvenient Truth film. Remember, Spectrum 360 Media, www.spectrum360media.com. I thank co-host T.K. Weeks for being here before I could be at the Democracy Convention. He did a great job as host. And we thank you for listening. We value our listeners, and thank you so much for listening. And come back next week for another edition of Spectrum 360 Radio Program. Thank you.